Well, this morning we want to take a look at the boys, and that is the disciples. Not to be disrespectful, but they were young and they were immature, and God was going to take them from boys to men and finally to the apostles that we would know and love. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray. That would be our Lord Jesus Christ. And continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, those whom were willing to be trained, and of those he chose 12, whom he named apostles, which means to be sent out. And the 12 were Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew his brother, so Simon and Peter were brothers, James and John, we know them to be the sons of Zebedee, Philip and Bartholomew, or sometimes known as Nathanael, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called the Zealot, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So the 12 whom the Lord chose, who were learned disciples, they were teachable men, and they were obedient men because they were going to be obedient to the call that God was going to place upon their life. And we've mentioned that there is a great insight to what the word fellowship really means in your Bible. And we've shared it each week out of Mark chapter 3 in verses 13 through 15, that he called them into fellowship so that he would be able to spend time with them. That God would be able to spend time with his disciples, loving them and taking care of them. But he also called them into fellowship in verse 14 so that he might train them. That he would teach them that when there was a multitude, that they would not send them away, but they would believe in the resources of heaven. And when they could not see, that God would open their eyes and they would heal those who were blind. And when someone was not able to walk, they would not feel sorry, but they would say, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And thirdly, he said that in verse 14, he called them into fellowship so that he might use them. Not that he was going to do it himself, but he would leave the ministry with these 12 until they figured it out. And lastly, in verse 15, he called them to himself that he would be able to anoint them and to empower them by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we mention fellowship, what we are simply saying in the greatest definition of the term is that you are coming to God for God to love you, and you are going to hang out with God to learn how to do it the right way, and that you believe that God has called you to do it, and you believe that God never calls unless he enables you by the power of the Holy Spirit to do that which is impossible through you who is weak. So the word fellowship is that which encumbers all that. Well, we come now to one of the apostles, and we've taken a look at most of the men, but we look this morning at a man called Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot, one who was a passionate man. Have you ever gone somewhere wanting to see something so bad, couldn't sleep the night before, thought about it all day, and so you got up early and began to pack things, and off you went in the car to be able to catch a glimpse of something absolutely special in your life, only to find out that you didn't mark down the directions well enough. You got lost, and you finally got there, and when you finally were there, there were so many people in front of you that you couldn't see. And so you begin to jump up and down, hoping that you would be able to peep over the top of the people, but being as small as you are, you were not able to, and as old as you are, no one wanted to pick you up. And so you finally look over to a side of a fence, and you see a little tiny hole. And there you catch a glimpse of something that's very special. So you run over there and stick your eyeball right in that hole. And what you see is breathtaking. You see the whole picture of what others are seeing, not looking through that hole. It is an amazing thing what you can see through a peephole. You can see a whole landscape. Well, this morning, God has given to us one of His peepholes, one area that we can look inside of a man's life, one simple word that explains his whole life and character. And I know the danger there is when you take one word and begin to build a life out of that one word. It's a very dangerous thing to do. And so the question arises, why are you going to do it? Well, I believe that there are some words that are very, very safe to do it with. If I was to mention the word communist, what would go through your mind? A society without God. A society that was cruel, one under a horrible bondage. So the etymology of the word is something that's very understandable. If I was to say to you the word zealot, it is a very powerful word and one that does not really need to be explained. It was a group of people during the life of Christ who became the insurrectionist. They were the rebels. They were the ones who desired to be the mercenaries. They were the guerrilla warfare fighters. They were the ones that were seeking to overthrow the Roman government. And the Roman government had a horrible time with these people because they were, in a sense, much like terrorists. They had no love for themselves. Their love was for their country. They had no desire to do anything except to free the nation of Israel. And so many of them were prosecuted, many of them hung, many of them were crucified, many of them were beheaded. We know one to be Barabbas, who was traded for Christ, for he was one who caused major insurrection and murder among the people of Rome. And so when Pilate said, "Who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas?" they cried out Barabbas because they were famous people within the days of our Lord. They were the strong character. They were filled with ambition. They were men of passion. They were men of action. They were willing to slit the throat and have no problem spending the night before God at sleep. They were the Pharisees of Pharisees. They were the upholders of righteousness. They were evil and they were ungodly, but they were committed. They were the patriarchs of that day. They wore the flags and they had the banners and they were Jewish people all the way through. Well, this man we look at today was called Simon. But because there was another Simon in the Bible, especially one of the apostles, Simon Peter, he is called Simon the Zealot, or as Matthew declares, Simon the Canaanite. Now some have tried to say that he was from Canaan, or that he was a Canaanite, he was a Gentile. And the word Canaan or Canaanite in the Hebrew does not mean that. The word Canaan or Canaanite in the Hebrew means zealot. And the word in the Greek means zealot. And the word means to be one who is anti-Roman government. So here was a man who was committed to overthrow the Roman government. And this was one whom the Lord Jesus picked to do the work for his kingdom. There were many Simons in the Bible, as I mentioned to you, Simon Peter. There was, you remember, Simon the Tanner. He lived in Joppa, and that's where Peter fell asleep, and there was that sheet coming down to Peter, and God told Peter to rise up and kill. And it was the vision of Cornelius being saved. There was Simon Cyrenian, you remember, he was the one who carried the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. there was Simon the leper there in Bethany, whom the Lord healed, and he was no longer a leper. There was Simon the Pharisee, who was one who invited Christ to dinner, then criticized him for hanging out with the wrong people, and the Lord criticized him for not washing his own feet. There was Simon, you remember, the father of Judas Iscariot, and then there was Simon the sorcerer, who wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. But this Simon was named after being a zealot. So we believe that as much as it within us, that he means to overturn the Roman government. The word Simon means to hear, but not just to listen, but to hear with activity. In other words, it's a word that means hearing with exception, or hearing with a purpose, or hearing ready to go to war. Simon the Canaanite, as I mentioned to you before, is not Canaan, or neither is it a Canaanite or a geographical place, or does it deal with a race, being a Jew or a Gentile. It means a zealot. The zealots came from the Maccabean days, and let me give you just a little bit of history because it will come together, I hope, at the very end. But there was a time during the days of Antiochus Epiphanes that he went inside and he defiled the temple of God. He desecrated a pig there upon the altar inside the Holy of Holies. He killed the high priest and took their blood and smeared it on the walls. He is a type of the Antichrist, and so we read about him in Daniel chapter 11. But one of the priests that were killed was John Maccabees, and his son was called Judas Maccabees. And when his father was killed, Judas Maccabees got an attitude. His attitude was to bring together a group of guerrilla fighters who would be able to strategically attack the Roman and begin to cause major rebellion inside of the Roman courts. Judas Maccabees was very successful in what he was doing, and eventually he was able to overthrow the city, take back the temple, and you remember maybe the story that they were so excited that they lit the candles that were put out by Antiochus Epiphanes around 163 B.C., I believe. But when they lit the candles, they remembered the word of the Lord, that they could never go out. And the problem was, is there was no oil ready for them to continue the oil being burned. And so they got together, began to pray, and miraculously, the candles remained lit for 8 days. Finally, the oil was rekindled, refurbished, and the candles were lit. Well, we celebrate that as the Feast of Hanukkah, or the Festival of Lights, where the Jewish people will place a candle in the windowsill of their home, symbolizing the great freedom that Judas Maccabees brought, and how God gave them the light, and the light did not go out. So if I was to say to you that you are a zealot, it would be one of the great honors. It would mean that you were the elite of all the elite, that there was an attitude that you had, that you were not afraid of danger, not afraid of dying, that you were a loyalist to the very end, that you believed in your country to the point that you were willing to go to the nth degree to protect it. So much that they took the law within their own hands, and they caused much damage to the people of God. It was Titus who finally had to come in because of the zealots in 70 AD and annihilate the city of Jerusalem. So that gives you a little bit of background about who this man was, about the fierce excitement in his life, about being a visionary, about bringing in the Messiah at any cost. He was, in a sense, had terrorist blood within him. But there was something burning very, very deep within his heart. And it was a passion for the kingdom of God and for the nation of Israel. And so we realize that his name means one who hears. Finally, we come to Simon the Apostle. And I think the background is important to kind of understand what in the world happened to this man. He was transformed. I believe that because the crowds were flocking, and we know that there were up to 20,000 people following Christ, because the government was upset on what Christ was doing, because the lame were walking and the blind were seeing, he had to go. Something was happening in his town. And he wanted to find out what revolution was taking place. There was an uproar. Whenever Jesus walked through the city, there were hundreds and thousands of people. And it was no small stir. And so when he began to preach, the hillsides were filled with people listening. I think what probably happened is he came to listen to this teacher. And he was probably one of those who said, I never heard a man speak like this. He was different. He was a little bit revolutionist. He talked about turning your cheek. He talked about loving those who hate you. He went against the system. He fought against the system. He did not respect the Pharisees. He challenged the scribes. He was not afraid to eat with the publicans. He was not a man pleaser. There was something very unique about him. And he was starting a revolution in the community. And I think of much what happened in my life back in 1970. There was what we came to know as the Jesus movement. And I remember that I was called a Jesus freak. And we became an enigma, something that people came to watch us. But I heard about a man who was preaching. He was a bald-headed guy, but he had curly hair in the very back. That all he was doing was opening the Word of God, and thousands were flocking, and his board was leaving him because the board wanted him to make the hippies put their shoes on before they came in. But he stood for the hippies. He said, you hippies, come in barefooted. It's fine with us. But the old men said, no, put shoes on because the carpet's going to wear out because of the oil. And this man, who was up in his 45s and 50s, brought electric guitars to the stage. And I remember how the newspapers began to write. How could he do this? And it was love song the very first day they played. And I remember how the long hair was accepted, and I remember my hair then being long. When I had hair, it was down halfway down my waist to in a ponytail, nice, wavy, you know, brown hair. I remember my mustache being all the way down and a goatee with three rubber bands in it. I remember sitting there with my bib overalls on with no shoes and a flower in my hair and a big old silly grin smile, sitting in the front row listening to this guy talk about the Word of God that I wanted my life change. I remember what it was like being molested by a teacher and now listening to the Word of God for the first time in my life. And it was right there that God took my heart and transformed it. It was just a couple days before that I was carrying a gun. And I remember vividly that a girl came to me one day at the drug house and she said, Steve, do you have any drugs? And I said, no. And then she said, is Bob home? And I go, no. And she turned around and walked away, and I was so hurt that I took my gun and shot her. Missed her, thank God, but shot her. Or shot at her. But I was aiming for her because I was so hurt that she didn't ask me how I was doing. The anger that was in my heart, the hatred that was in my heart, and right then and there, I made a covenant that I would never get married. But the very next day, I came to Christ. And that little tiny guy named Orville said, "Do you have a gun?" I go, "Yes." He goes, "Give me your gun." And so I handed him his gun, my gun. He said, "Bow your head. Take that bandana off." So I took my bandana off and I prayed that sinner's prayer. And the very next day, I remember no longer listening to Led Zeppelin. Now I was singing "The Lord Told Noah to Build Him an Arky-Arky." And I remember vividly that there was no longer any guns, but there was a Bible in my hand. And no longer was I trying to beat people up, but now I was loving and hugging people, and something was happening in my life. And then I thought about shaving and all those horrible things in my life. But I was transformed instantly by a greater. And everything that I knew, everything that I hated, everything that I was against, all the establishment that I hated, God turned it. And He taught me how to love people and hate still the things that are not right. Well, God took this zealot. God took this man with passion. God took this man who had an anger problem, willing to kill, willing to make a statement. And God captivated his heart. And I think that when he saw Christ, he realized that there was a pure zealot. Jesus Christ came into the world, but the world knew him not. He came into darkness with the light. He came in with a message of love. He came to die. He came as no other man has ever come into this world. He came to make a stand, to share about a different kingdom, to bring a different group of people, to make a difference in the world in which they live, and he was going to take them out. No one has ever done this. And when Simon heard this man speak, he understood this was the all-time zealot of his life. He surrendered, no longer hating the Roman government, but now loving the kingdom of God. No longer seeking to destroy the people, but now seeking to save the world. No longer angered inside, but now filled with a passion to win the body of believers to Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you that before Simon came to Christ, he was called Simon the Zealot. And after he came to Christ, he was called Simon the Zealot. So God did not take away his passion. God refined his passion. God is not willing to take away your manhood. God is willing to teach you humility. God doesn't want you to take away the things that you are, the personality that you have. And I do believe this is a main problem. Why he does not have more disciples in the kingdom of God? Because there is this fear that if I give my life to God, I will go from John Wayne to Don Knox. I will instantly become a wimp. I will have to surrender my life to somebody else, and I will not do that as a man, for I am in charge. But I want to tell you, there's not a stronger man in all the world than Jesus Christ. No one is willing to do more than Christ has done for us. He is the hero of all heroes. He is able to sanctify and cleanse and heal and put back together a man and a woman. He's able to take a woman who was caught in adultery and say to her, "Woman, you are clean, you are pure." He's able to take a guy who has been a failure and make him very successful. He's able to take a world that's going to hell and bring that world to heaven if they will listen to him. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way but by me." That is someone who is different. Like John the Baptist, he was a voice. In the wilderness, he was not an echo. He had his own voice. He said, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He knew exactly what he had to do. And Simon maintained his passion. And I think that when Jesus saw Simon, I think Jesus saw in himself an interesting man. I think sometimes being around Raul is kind of neat, especially when we travel together, Raul and I and Pastor Chuck. Because Raul, when he does things, Pastor Chuck just laughs. Raul makes Chuck laugh. Neat, neat, neat. And Chuck just laughs. And we begin to laugh. And we're not laughing at Raul. We're laughing that God is using Raul. Because Raul is the last one that anyone should use. I mean, he goes on trips and he puts in his false teeth and his wig and his funny looking glasses and he's... And this is a senior pastor representing the world and he's acting like a goofball. But that's Raul. It's all heart. It's all passion. He doesn't think about certain things and he just has fun. And so you scratch your head and think, I don't think I would call him. But thank God that Chuck called all of us. Thank the Lord that Chuck was a maverick. Thank God that Chuck was willing to allow guitars on stage and hippies into a church barefooted, and he was willing to take a chance with people who had a dream, and he saw a movement of hippies that were against the establishment, and he knew if he could get a hold of their hearts, they would turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ, and he was right. And I'm saying the same thing to you today. There are some of you that you don't think God wants to use you because there's too much passion within your life, too much anger within your life, too much of a criticalness within your life. But if you will come to the one, Jesus Christ, he will refine that and give you a heart to go after it. Paul the Apostle was the very same way. He was willing to kill Christians in the name of God. He was willing to go through the proper channels to have a letter from the Sanhedrin to do damage to the brothers and sisters and to bring havoc to the church of God, so much so that the Bible declares that when Paul came to Christ, the church had peace in their life. But it was on the Damascus Road that God dealt with him. But before God dealt with him, God allowed this man to be the greatest brain of his day. They say of Paul the Apostle that he was more trained than anybody else in the world in that day, by Gamaliel, one of the best teachers in the world at that time. That he could not teach Paul or Saul enough. They believe that he was the most brilliant man that ever lived and had the ability to speak all different languages and understand all different cultures, and he was elite among the elite. And God looked down on that man and allowed him to go through all that because God knew one day on that Damascus Road, all that God would have to do is turn the light bulb on, and all the learning would now turn and he would preach against the kingdom of darkness. And God took this man and God changed this man. And this man now turned against the powers of darkness and has destroyed them with his knowledge. So God has given you gifts, and God has given you talents, and there is a Damascus Road that God wants to turn the light on. And there is a zealot who God turned the light on, and God is willing to refine. Oh, one last thing before I let you go. I think Jesus is quite unique. He kind of thinks like, who can I put together? You got to be real careful not to offend anybody. Well, Jesus doesn't think that way. He says, I think I'll take a guy who likes the Roman government, was a tax collector, and everyone hated Matthew because he was a traitor. And I will pair him up with Simon, a guy that hated the Roman government, love to burn flags and slit their throats. I think these two would be a great little team. And you say to me, Pastor Steve, they had nothing in common. And I would say, congregation, when the Spirit of God gets a hold of two people, they have more in common than you ever knew. Peter and John fought like cats and dogs. But after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible declares Paul and John were on their way to the temple for the hour of prayer. They were prayer partners. Simon, a guy that used to burn Roman flags, possibly, became the best friends with Matthew, who walked away from his own race to become a tax collector. And they too, I imagine, had some great stories. It's God that puts people together. And the more opposite and weirder you are, the better. Now you are weird. There are some weird people here today. You have some weird personalities about you. I do too. And what's really weird is we're all here together. And we keep coming back, listening to this bald-headed guy. That's weird. But even weirder than that is maybe God is going to put you in this pulpit. Or maybe God is going to use your life in a way that you never dreamed. Maybe your passion gets you in trouble. Maybe you're angry because things aren't right. Good. Maybe you just get out of control because you don't like certain things. Great. Well, let me introduce you to a man who was able to bring things back together. His name is Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your love and goodness in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for the grace of God that ministers to us and through us. And Father, why we are here, and Father, our heads are bowed. God, we understand that there are some who have never come to know Jesus Christ. And the reason is that our fear of giving up our rights. Oh Lord, what has our rights ever gotten us? Lord, we like to surrender who we are to you. Lord, we don't know much about this man, Simon. We know that he was an apostle. We know that he was a zealot. We know that he stood for a group of people that were loyal to their country. Lord, we know that he was one who was willing to die. He was one who was willing to move at a drop of a hat. He was one who understood the networking through the city. He was one who understood how to get things done. Well, Jesus, you looked at him. Lord, you knew what you could do with him. And God, you used every one of his talents for your glory. So, Lord, we yield our talents to you. And we ask that you would forgive us for bearing the very things that you've given to us. From this day on, would you remind us that, God, that there are different people, different personalities, different situations in each of our lives? And, God, as we have looked at these men, not one of them are the same. Some were timid. Some were fearless. Some were vocal. Some were silent. Some put their foot in their mouth. Others had horrible past reputations. But in the light of everything, your glory is seen. If you'd like to ask Christ to come into your heart or rededicate your life to the Lord, would you simply raise your hand that I might pray for you this morning? And don't even hesitate. Raise him high that I might see him. If you'd like to ask the Lord to come in, God bless you. Or to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Anyone else before we close? Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?